Hello and welcome to Horrorsperia. My name is May.
And I'm Clinton. Ho, 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 May. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I'm so happy we're doing this on Christmas Eve.
We are. Hey, smile. And don't worry, darling. We're going to cover 2022's greatest horror films.
I wish we could redo that. That's how much I hated it. No, yes. So this is a fun one. I feel like this is the first year, maybe since we started doing this, that I really wanted to try to stay on top of new releases.
Yes.
And I feel like we did pretty well for the most part.
I had fun with it. You know, it didn't seem like a chore.
No, yeah. And I also mean like throughout the year, we saw a lot of films together in theaters. It makes me want to keep it up. I feel like we can do this. And so it's awesome to like not have to do a leftovers episode.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
on time.
We are.
We're experts at
this one
point.
Should hit y'all right before the actual ball drop of 2023.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. So come along with us.
Yeah.
And what are we going to do with spoilers? Are we going to try to keep it?
Okay, sorry. This is your disclaimer. We're doing spoilers.
Okay.
Like, don't listen to a year end without the spoilers. And yeah, so it's a lovely little Christmas Eve. The sirens are ringing. We're looking at Babu.
Uh-huh. That's May's cat, if you're new to the pod.
I think we're ready.
Struggling with an intestinal issue this week, but
oh my
feeling
God.
Better today.
I do not want to be one of your children. You would just blast.
Oh, I do. I do. Oh, no. I blast out.
You're like, this one is fucking pissing in his sleep.
Yep.
Okay. So before we begin so this is going to be kind of more of like a conversation podcast.
Okay.
Mainly because I tossed around with like top five. I tossed around with an idea that every film gets like a superlative, like, I wish I was 10 times more high when I saw this film. But I was just like, you know what? We'll just talk about them. We'll just say faves. We'll just have a lovely little conversation. Because, I mean, sticking to the ethos of this own podcast, I do think we can look at a lot of these films and notice trends, notice things that may seem, well, like not only on trend, but like motifs, thematic, aesthetics. And yeah, I'm really stoked. And we set a goal like separately to just watch as many 2022 horrors in the last month or so. We did see a lot of them during the year. But what I also like about this is I think that you saw some stuff. I saw some stuff. We saw some of the same stuff, but not all of the same stuff. So
that's right. We got different
perspectives. I think we have a lot of coverage.
We covered a lot.
So before we get into it, what were your general impressions of 2022 horror? Like, good year, mid-year?
Yeah. Well, you know, I would have to say it's a good year.
Okay.
Just sheer quantity and quality within the quantity. It's like you got a little bit of both this year.
Yeah.
And a lot of movies that kind of didn't seem like they'd be that good, but then ended up being kind of good. Yeah.
I think I know exactly what movie you're talking about. And that's a no.
I do think
there tends to be, I feel like we're entering like a golden age of horror. And I'm not really sure if it's because of the sheer amount of stuff that gets made. Like some things actually that are not on this list because they're not movies, but things that I like Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities, like little things like that were really fun to engage with. Yellow Jackets, what else? Servant, things like that. Which Servant, last season, January 13th, catch up.
Wait. There's one more season?
One more season.
In the 2023?
Dropping January 13th.
And now then we'll be finished with that monster forever.
You don't even know what happens in it.
I know enough.
No, you don't.
I saw the first season.
You have like these conceptions.
I do.
Anyway, but yeah, so I'm really excited just to get into this list.
So this is the 2022 straight up horror movie bangers.
Well, we're going. I wrote down every film that I, well, that I think I saw, mm-hmm. and yeah, a few, I also have a few that I heard of, but don't really want to watch or okay. still haven't and watched.
Maybe I got some of those too.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to, so some of the films discussed on this episode, I'm going to read them off. You're more than welcome okay. to make comments as I go.
Okay.
So this is the list of films that we're going to try to address in this
okay.
episode.
Okay.
Men, Scream, Barbarian, Nanny, X, Pearl, Smile, The Northman, The Black Phone, You Won't Be Alone, Hatching, Mad God, Deadstream, We're All Going to the World's Fair, You Are Not My Mother, Watcher, Bodies, 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 Speak No Evil, Orphan, First Kill, Nope, Resurrection, Crimes of the Future, VHS 99, Master, Hocus Pocus 2.
What?
It counts.
Okay, okay.
My Best Friend's Exorcism, Dash Cam, Uma, and then some movies. So those are all movies that I think those are all the horrors that I watched this year. And
okay.
then some movies that were either on two watches or some movies that I know made a splash this year, but maybe I don't want to see them for uh-huh. one reason or another. Some of them are Hellbender, Salome, The Innocents, Sissy, A Wounded Fawn, Prey, Piggy, The Menu, Studio 666.
Did The Menu come out?
The Menu is about to drop on HBO Max.
Really? Yeah. Wow, that's a yeah. straight to Max? Or did it have like a small run?
No, it came out in October. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it came out in October. The one thing about The Menu, and so The Menu is not one that I really want to watch, mainly because I don't think it's a horror. And literally when
I
read reviews.
It's in theaters now.
Yeah. And when I read reviews, people are like, yeah, this isn't really a horror. So uh-huh. don't walk in expecting a horror.
I mean, but so much of this horror is like that, right?
No,
I
yeah,
mean,
fair enough.
It's like
fair enough.
Horror adjacent.
Right.
Yeah.
Studio 666, Halloween Ends, They Them, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And Huesera is one I want to see. Oh, and Skinamarink. Skinamarink is also one I want to see.
Yeah.
Then there are also a few. Right now, there's a brand new Christmas horror called Christmas Bloody Christmas. But I'm going to be real with you. I think I'm kind of like spent on Killer Santa stuff.
Yeah.
On that note, uh-huh. I do want to see Violent Night.
Yeah, that seems like an exception
like
to the
fun.
Rule.
Yeah, totally. And mainly
and
because of the
of
cast.
Movie,
it's
right?
John Leguizamo and David Harbour, two dudes that I... Hello, David Harbour's looking at us right now.
Is he?
Yeah, I have that photo with him.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay, so that's our movie list.
Yeah, that's a lot. And also Terrifier 3... just gross.
I specifically
stuff.
Decided not to acknowledge Terrifier.
Yeah, you know, there's no really way to really talk about it without being
you
like
watched it?
No,
oh, okay.
I can't. I
no,
don't have
yeah,
the psychology for that.
Yeah, no,
it's just
same.
Like gross gore
yeah.
horror, right?
No, yeah. yeah, and it's all of women, you know, and
yeah.
it's just like I'm sorry, it's always gonna be a gender thing. To
yeah,
me.
Yeah. And it's a killer clown thing, and I'm like. We've done.
Who
we've
cares?
Been there. We've done that. What's
Literally,
what's new?
Who cares?
Yeah.
I remember that they were doing this self-righteous Oscar campaign. Like, obviously, we're not going to be nominated for Oscars, but uh-huh. we just want to force Oscar voters to watch it. And
oh,
it's
God.
Like,
that, I mean, I kind of respect that. That's
what?
Kind of like,
no. I think it's yeah. just like the most useless troll.
It is a troll. Yeah. I mean,
anyway.
It's yeah.
Yeah, so how do you want to get started on the list?
Well, that is a lot of films. So I'm going to start with the one I saw most recently.
Okay.
And I don't know if I heard it on your list.
Maybe
on your
not.
Little list over here. Okay.
Damn,
but it's the film Don't Worry, Darling.
Okay, that one doesn't count. That film.
I just watched it recently, and I just want to say that I watched it because somebody had...
You were dying to watch it. You kept
no,
begging me
dying.
To watch.
I
no, you were dying
begging.
To watch.
Come
you were
on.
Like, I
this
love
is exaggeration.
Harry Styles.
Oh, I do like that song.
No, I don't even know any of his songs.
And
like,
Olivia Wilde's cool. She's cool. And our girl from Midsommar.
I know you do love
oh,
Florence Pugh.
God, which she has like the oldest woman's name of any actress
yeah.
in my lifetime. Florence yeah. Pugh.
I don't know.
She sounds like a Golden Girl. I'm pretty sure she was named after Golden Girl. But in any case, the film was not bad.
It wasn't great.
It wasn't great, but I watched it because somebody had tweeted that it was the worst thing they had seen all year. And that was not the case for me. What was the worst thing you saw all this year?
What do you think?
Oh, the worst? Ooh, it's hard. I don't know. Do you have any that come to mind?
No, I mean, like...
When they're bad, I just stop watching it, right? I mean... If it's streaming.
Yeah, but like, I guess like if we're going in theaters and whatnot, like one, I mean, we can always start off with the first horror that we saw this year, which was Scream. And we saw it in theaters.
Yes.
We were really stoked. And I think we've already sort of talked about it on the pod, but it was a thing where I didn't hate watching it with you, right? Like,
we watched it on opening night.
We watched it on opening night. And we had a good time together. But then I rewatched it in October and I was like, this film makes me so angry that I wish I could piss on it and set it on fire.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
Yeah. So
we got hyped into enjoying it.
I know.
But like, my first impressions were like, this is a super bloated franchise sequel. Like, no, it's just like, everything I hate about when series continue and then they have to always bring back pieces of the past for the past. But then they
It was the first one that was not done by Wes Craven. And so, you know, like you're coming back after 10 years and whatnot. No, it was just like a super big disappointment. So yeah, I guess Scream. We saw The Northman.
That's the fifth one, is that right?
That was the fifth one. Okay. I'm not gonna watch
the sixth. They're rebooted. So are they gonna like go into Scream 2? Like, what do they call the next one? Scream.
The next one is Scream 6. Neve Campbell's not in it because they didn't want to pay her enough. And it's already coming out. Like, it's actually the shortest time between Scream sequels. It's about to come out.
Oh, my God. Speaking of shortest time.
Oh, God.
I tried to watch the new Halloween movie. I ended up watching the old Halloween movie because they made one in 2021.
Yeah.
And then 2022?
Yeah.
What?
Why? No, they went real. No, I'm telling you.
New
Halloween trilogy is ass.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I wanted to watch the new one because I heard the new one wasn't that bad. It was actually kind of good. But then
I only heard the opposite of that.
Really?
Everyone hated it.
Really?
Because, all right, the latest
Halloween
one
ends.
Is all about,
not
it's,
Halloween
it's
Kills.
Not about Michael Myers. It's about like this random white guy that's like the new Michael, and apparently like even beats him up a bit, and people were like, how do you beat up Michael like he's supposed to be indestructible, and suddenly this like scrawny little white man's like, I'm gonna beat your ass. And I'm like, as someone that actually hates the Halloween franchise overall, I can see how the anachronism with like the hero worship you build with that villain, if you prove him as fallible, you know, it's just sort of like, then what were you doing all this other time? You know, it's like, it's very like convenient for the plot line for like who, you know, but Halloween Ends is not something I would ever watch.
Okay.
Same with Don't Worry, Darling. I was like, those are strong nevers.
Wow.
I'm going to die one day.
Coming from that end.
You know, I'm going to die. I don't want to waste
my
time.
They never say, Don't Worry, Darling, in the movie, if that's what you're worried about.
No.
Like, Harry Styles doesn't say it.
Harry Styles' face literally enrages me. Like,
he's very young looking.
He's very disgusting looking.
Oh,
like,
my
he
gosh.
Looks
wow.
like a felched asshole.
Oh, my God. Merry Christmas. Harry, you're on Harry Styles' naughty list.
Yeah, we saw The Northman together.
We did.
I fell asleep in the middle of it.
Oh my gosh. And I did the opposite. I went to a higher plane. I enjoyed it so much.
So is The Northman, you think, in your top five?
So Northman, directed by...
Robert Eggers.
Yes. Super pod... Fan of the pod. He loves our pod and we love him.
No.
He gave the world
dislike. Robert Eggers, you're not my friend.
He gave the world Witch, which is one of my top horror movies of all time. And The Lighthouse, which was in black and white and had Robert Pattinson jerking
off. Did you watch it?
We saw it together.
No, we didn't.
Lighthouse. There's no way I saw that by myself.
You saw it by yourself. We saw it together. I saw it by myself. No, I saw it by
myself.
I was there.
You were forgetting the existence of my body and my whole personhood.
I'm pretty sure we didn't watch it together. I would bet like real money on it.
I would not have sat in a seat in the theater.
I didn't see it in theaters. I didn't see it in theaters.
Okay, maybe I did.
Okay, see? I saw it on my fucking laptop. I remember that. Or not my laptop. I saw it on TV.
Okay, well, in any case, Robert Eggers. Well, that's kind of a fun name. Oh my God.
Have you ever seen a photo of him?
Yeah, he's pretty normal looking.
No, he looks like a lumberjack to me.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, he has like that thick ass hipster beard.
Okay.
And is like muscly.
Well, he knows like history. So he's like,
I'm pretty sure he doesn't know
history. Historic grizzle. But the Northman, it's got.
Has incest.
What?
Hello, Nicole Kidman and Alex Skarsgård.
I'm not full.
Not full.
They don't go all the way.
It doesn't count if it's only it's like, just they flirted. They had a little kiss.
Come on. It's just used as a plot thing.
Oh, my God.
But it's not like, oh, this movie
That's
is.
That's Robert Eggers' whole shtick.
What? Incest?
Using
you could make a
for
case.
Plot
you could
things.
Make a case.
Ew.
But no, Northman was, oh, my God. If you're into anything dark fantasy, this is just what I've always wanted in a film, which is like high budget dark fantasy weirdness.
It made no sense. But actually, looking at the list again, I think I do have one that I think is the worst film of the year, and that's Men. Not only because that is definitely where I got COVID, like literally no joke.
Yeah.
But that was one of the films where I was like, men shouldn't be feminists. Like that's
yeah,
just like
that. That was a mistake.
Yeah, no, men, absolutely. And then not only do I hate men, but I hate people that love men, especially women. I'm not gonna lie, because women are like the defenders of men that are women are like.
Now you're talking defenders of men, the movie.
Yeah,
that are women.
Yeah,
are like
they're like, oh well, you know, we need men to be feminists. They need to do this. They need to do that. And it's like, I don't care what a man thinks about being a woman. You know, like, of course,
so
solidarity.
I have no idea what this movie, like, okay. I know the troubling racial dynamic that is set up in the movie. So
it's not only that, yeah. But it's also like this gender essentialist thing. So full spoilers on men
yeah,
here.
Take me
so
through.
First off, and I think you're going to also be annoyed with me by this. So uh-huh. This woman is going off to an English countryside to work on a book or her master's, something like that.
Yeah, doing female things.
Doing intellectual, you right. know, escaping things. Right. And in this English countryside, there's only men in the town. And they're all played by the same guy, first
what?
Off. Exactly. Well, exactly.
But what's in a good
as a
way?
Filmmaking,
I mean, that's kind of cool.
And as a film, come on, did you like it with X? See, it was that clowny. It was just
clowny.
That super clowny.
Okay.
But essentially, kind of like fast forwarding, it definitely is like every scene's like, yes, all men. Like, oh, see, this guy's a creep. This guy's a creep. This guy's a creep.
Okay, so the whole
but
town
then,
of creeps.
Like, at the end, what happens is the men all congregate to the house that she's staying at to essentially terrorize her. And they all become pregnant with each other.
The fuck?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where they literally birth out of each other's stomachs into
one
another. Oh my another.
God, this sounds amazing.
And
oh my God.
And then
I'm going to run home and watch this.
And then at the end, her pregnant female friend comes to like find her. Uh-huh. And it's like this gender dichotomy of like, oh, so pregnancy, you know, it's like gender essentialist, you know? And it's just
how
like,
how so?
Well, you know, it's
so what does her pregnant friend do? What happens? I mean, maybe don't tell me because I want to see it now.
Okay, well, go see it. But it just definitely felt like this white guy just learned of you know, like feminism or just
the white
learned,
guy is the director.
Yeah, yeah, Alex Garland, which I didn't like.
But I loved his. Now, that he also is a writer, right?
He liked. No, he did Annihilation Garland's. And he did Ex Machina.
I kind of I liked Ex Machina. I liked Ex Machina. We liked Ex Machina.
But no, yeah, men to me just super. I just like, and like honestly, I just would have preferred a female perspective on something like that. I don't. And then like again, this like troubling racial dichotomy of like the problem is on her black boyfriend, you know, fiance, and blah blah blah. It's just like
yeah. That when I heard that, because I just thought it was a more straightforward, like terrorizing, stalking man.
No,
story.
No, it's like
I didn't realize
this,
it was gonna go.
Yeah,
into that realm.
No, yeah, it's just it's like
that's
I just
my realm.
Really,
50,000 pregnant men that all look the same.
No, literally, and it's just it's so. Anyway, yeah, men. So men to me, I would crown worst of the year.
Worst of the year. Okay.
Do you have a word? Do you think?
Well,
you can?
I still don't know. I think okay. We'll get there as we go through.
All right.
Yeah. I also want to throw up that Pinocchio, Guillermo del Toro's right. Pinocchio.
Yeah.
Is horror definitely maybe kids/family horror?
Yeah.
And
I
it's
watch
pretty
it.
Good.
Yeah. I keep hearing super polarizing things, but I definitely do want to watch it.
It's great. Like, I only watched an hour because I was watching it with my stepdaughter, who is like pink hair, rainbows and unicorns. Everything that she loves has big eyes and is so cute. And
she was horrified.
And she was like, "Daddy, can we please stop?" I thought, oh my God. And this was after, spoiler alert, Pinocchio had already died once. Geppetto.
I don't think I know Pinocchio's story other than like his nose grows.
Yeah,
right?
It doesn't really matter. But if you watch the movie, you'll know like the best version of it.
Okay. Yeah.
And I haven't even finished it because I wasn't allowed to finish
Guillermo del Toro, I feel like, has had a year.
Yeah,
you
and
know,
that's
like
good
I said,
for him because I haven't always liked what I've seen from him.
I mean,
and
hello,
I
Nightmare
like I
Alley fucking sucked. Did you end up watching Nightmare Alley?
I think I did. What was
that? Was the Bradley Cooper one?
Yeah. Why is Bradley Cooper in that movie?
He's the whole movie.
I don't. Yeah, like just give someone else a job. But you know what? That movie.
He was already nominated for an Oscar. Why does he need to be a leading man? And like, I thought he's supposed to be a director
now. He's supposed to be 20 years old in that film.
Oh, man.
But I did like some parts of that. The geek, you know how there's like the geek from like Carney?
I mean, no doubt Nightmare Alley's production design. I mean, that's Guillermo del Toro, right? You're never going to watch a shitty production, you know, designed film of his. Uh-huh. And of course, you know, the cinematography and whatnot. But it also just felt like so pedantically noir, including this like regressive treatment of women, you know, like the Rooney Mara character, like what the fuck was her purpose? Cate Blanchett was having
good.
A good time in that. Yeah. I really want to see Tar.
I've never heard of it.
Tar is, it seems likely either her or Michelle Yeoh are going to win for best actress.
Really?
Yeah.
Michelle
really
Yeoh had a year too.
Good for her.
Yeah.
I'm not even the biggest fan of Everything Everywhere All at Once, but
that movie
I think
slapped my firstborn child.
Yeah, I think it was just a thing where it still felt kind of neoliberal to me. And in many ways, like, it still is very much like a blockbuster movie. But there is also so much going on in that movie that I think to just completely dismiss it is completely insane.
Oh, yeah.
I rewatched it. I watched it twice this year, you know, just to kind of really gauge. And so, like, from a technical standpoint and also the acting, everyone but Jamie Lee Curtis in that movie is it.
And you know who else is it?
Who?
Jamie Lee Curtis. She also did a great job in that film.
Shut up. She does not get to be nominated over Stephanie Hsu.
Oh, she got nominated?
She's getting nominated over the daughter, Stephanie Hsu.
Oh, the daughter is so good.
No, and she's not getting a single
nomination.
No, yeah. The daughter is incredible.
That.
I know, exactly. It's just.
Jamie Lee Curtis. You're cool.
She's not
we're
great.
Cool.
No, we're
Halloween
not cool.
Ends is
Jamie
to be good.
Lee
we
Curtis
know. We're
literally
gonna watch your movie. It's
said
gonna be great.
That when she met Ana de Armas, she thought that she was uneducated because she was from Cuba. This was something that Jamie Lee Curtis admitted in an interview like 2 months ago. Jamie Lee Curtis is a fucking racist. Okay,
damn.
She's the worst.
Sorry.
Sorry. Anyway.
Previous self from 60 seconds ago.
But Guillermo del Toro, I feel like, has had a year. Michelle Yeoh
had a year. Michelle Yeoh's had a year.
Yeah. Maybe. Okay. If you can't really think of films that you dislike that you watched.
Yeah.
What were some of your favorites of the year then?
Hmm. You want me to go there?
Well, one of my favorites, as we, I think if I had to crown, you know, it's like Barbarian to me was it. But one that I'm super happy people can finally watch is Nanny.
Yes.
Yeah. Nanny.
I watched that the other day.
Yeah. It's, I especially, you know, I watch it in January. And I
last
always,
year.
This year.
I mean,
beginning pretty much
year.
Last year.
Yeah.
Because of Sundance. I mean, you know, Nikki.
Sorry, listeners.
Anyone.
Some
could,
of you may not have been to Sundance.
First off, it's virtual. Second off, I just pay attention to this shit.
Okay, yeah.
And also Nikki Yatou. She's a colleague. So, and we had her on the pod right
pod
before she made
friend
Nanny.
Friend of the pod.
Yes. An
literally.
Actual friend of the pod.
Yes.
So like Nanny was always on my to watch
and she wrote and directed it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She
and it's just the cinematography still might be my favorite of the entire, and
yeah.
The cinematography was done by Rina Yang, who literally is like Taylor Swift's cinematographer.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah. Rina Yang is maybe the most up and coming cinematographer working in the industry right now.
I mean,
and
yeah.
She knocked it out of the park with Nanny. But also, you know, Nanny came out at a time where it was like before I'd seen most of these films. And now that I have seen a good range of films this year, I still think Nanny was doing something that no other film was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's impressive in and of itself, because even some of the films that I do like even something like Barbarian might be my favorite of the year. I can still place it within like a trend, you know?
Yeah.
And some people want to push Nanny into this trend of like, oh, it's like Jordan Peele or blah, blah, blah. But it really isn't even like that. It's such a unique take and very specific to West African mythology. You know, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, the whole Jordan Peele.
It reminds me more of Guillermo del Toro, actually.
Yeah, yeah. It reminded me of, what was that movie about like tigers are not afraid similar?
Absolutely.
In the sort of realism, the horror that's happening in reality,
like magical realism.
I'm really excited for what's the director's name,
Nikki Yatou-Jusu.
I'm really excited for what she does next, because it was
I think she has like a self-written thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you know or if you've seen my posts. She's doing a sequel to Night of the Living Dead.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
I know.
And when I was watching this, I thought some big studio is going to pick her up and have her do
a
franchise.
Monkey Paw. So Jordan Peele's Productions.
Really?
Yeah. They've...
Yes. Yeah. So
they're
doing it.
Signed her.
She's
going to
rock it. She's going to kill it.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think so too.
And
it's almost weird in a way, because like I know her personally, but I've always known that if people found out about her, she could be one of the all timers. And I think she's definitely moving in that direction.
Yeah. The Jordan Peele like comparison too is like, it's so inescapable.
It's so lazy.
And lazy,
yeah.
But it is kind of inescapable when the film is marketed.
Totally.
And it feels like the marketing is like, oh, okay, so this is like a social, this is a horror movie with like a, you know, a message and racism and classism.
Yeah.
But the film is actually
not exactly.
It's more of a one person's story.
It's very personal. Exactly.
Very personal.
Yeah. You know, it's
and there is messages you can take from that, but
it's more about trauma.
A lot better than Jordan Peele. Like I would much rather watch another movie from her than
absolutely.
Nope.
Did you end up watching Nope?
No. And you know why? Well, we started it a little bit together. And then I thought, oh my God, I'm just not in the mood to like...
Literally, he was like, I don't think I can do this. And it's funny because one of the main reasons that you and I aren't a huge fan of Jordan Peele is that he's very pedantic. Like you're walking through molasses to get through 5% story.
Yeah, it felt like 10 minutes of no dialogue. And to me, it comes across as kind of, I mean, that's why I don't like pretentious is what it feels like to me.
No, yeah.
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 And like, cute, trying to be too cute and clever, and I'm like, no, just yeah, give me the friggin' story, totally. Just get
no,
it going.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I last night I was in the mood to watch it, so I tried to watch it. But then there's so many different streaming services, and I'm like, Peacock, and what's the password, and it's just like, it's so hard to watch
like,
things
you weren't
now.
Going that you were like, I'm not gonna text her.
I can't. Just... No, exactly. I'm not gonna get the password. I feel like a leech. I don't want to do it again. I asked you for the password for all these different services. It's so hard to watch a movie these days.
It is,
because you
honestly.
Have to have like. And keep your subscriptions and your trials and cancel and
no,
resubscribe.
Yeah.
And oh my God.
Did you end up watching Decision to Leave? No, right?
Decision to Leave. No.
Park,
what is
Park Chan-wook?
Oh, no. But I mean, I know I'm going to watch it. Eventually.
As soon as I told Clinton that Park released a new movie, he was like, oh, I can't wait for Park Detective Story.
Yeah.
And that's literally what it is.
Oh, I can't wait.
And
except
yeah.
I'm only in the mood for that, you know, like once every couple months.
Yeah.
For that like 3 hour
we
adventure.
Know that Park's my favorite director. It's definitely not even close in my tops for him. But one thing that it's like Bong Joon-ho. It's like even a mid movie per their standards mm-hmm. is better than everyone's best movie. Because yeah. I also think the cinematography in Decision to Leave might be my favorite of the year, and even like critiques of the film mm-hmm. are like, oh, it's just too clever visually for its own good. And I'm like, only you, I mean, like, I sort of get why people say that, but
yeah.
also like, that just also shows how badly shot so much shit is.
Yeah.
That you're like critiquing perfect visuals,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's largely, that exact criticism is how I feel about Wes Anderson and why I can't really.
I mean, Wes Anderson isn't even that visual. It's just symmetry.
It's just his stuff.
It's just fucking symmetry. That's his thing.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas Park Chan-wook is like, watch this door turn into this shot. Turn into. Like, that
okay,
takes
okay.
like actual math rather
right.
than.
Rather than just
Wes
like,
Anderson
everyone's
being like,
gonna
oh,
wear mustard yellow.
Literally.
And.
Literally.
And that's funny because it's cute. And
it's symmetrical. Gotta. Yeah.
And there's a mustache.
No, yeah. So to kind of leave off, so a few social horrors that I was absolutely bored of
okay.
this year.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Master by Mariam Diallo. It's about Regina Hall, who I absolutely love, is like the master, like the headmaster of, I think it's a New England... a New England college or something. And of course, it's just all about like racism and academia and whatnot. But it's definitely like a film that very much like goes nowhere. It never felt personal. It just felt like, isn't this a racism? You know? So not my favorite. And I didn't even watch this, but I didn't even want to watch They Them.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I'm clocked out on that one.
Okay.
But one actually that I think kind of borders on like a social topic, but definitely took it as a farce. I didn't hate Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Okay. Yeah. That
I
seems
didn't
to be
hate
the,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't hate it. I was like, oh, okay.
Could they have left, what's that comedian's name? The
Pete Davidson?
Could they have just left him off of the like box art promotion material? Or is he that involved in the
oh,
movie?
Oh, no. He, I don't.
Oh, no spoilers.
No spoilers?
No, because maybe somebody wants to see that one and maybe that's me.
He dies within the first like 15
minutes. I don't
actually
minutes. Want to see it. I don't actually.
No, yeah.
I can't make up my mind. I'm no. kind of, if he
I,
wasn't
like
in it,
those...
I think I would have seen
so
it.
So first off, I went to a press screening of it because I was like, I don't want to pay for
oh,
it.
Oh, well, that's free. Yeah.
But I'm definitely, not only was it free, they gave us, so in the press kit,
uh-huh.
they gave us makeup.
Ooh.
And they gave us glow sticks.
Oh my
and
God,
I was
that's
like,
funny.
Okay. And yeah, like I didn't hate it. I kind of love that everyone was gay in it. Like that
oh,
was
that's
funny.
Cool.
But one thing that I liked about Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is that to me actually does well with its social aspect is it focuses on the narcissism that social justice, you know, feeds.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Because that's
but it didn't feel like it didn't feel like it came at the expense of like hurting the social justice issues or like Or like, if you care, you're
I just don't think it's
woke,
necessarily
like,
even about that, yeah. You know? Like, one clip that has gone viral, first off, mainly because it was, I think, really well acted. Like I said, Pete Davidson dies really quick. So, yeah. But the core of the cast are the women, and uh-huh. the women really nail the dialogue, even when it's cringe.
Yeah.
And I think like one example of what I mean by like nailing the sardonic narcissism that social justice breeds is like one of them is like, your parents are upper middle class. And she's like, my parents are teachers. Uh-huh. And the other one's like, they're professors at a university.
Oh,
and the
God.
Other one's like, it's public.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's what I mean. Okay. It's definitely like, looking at like a certain class of people.
Yeah. Okay.
And,
I wish I was. The only thing that kept me from seeing it is that I'm a Pete Davidson hater. And I can't help that about myself. I'm
really,
sure he's fine.
Yeah.
But now I wish I had seen it.
Yeah. It's not, like I said, I definitely want to call it one of my favorites, but it is one where, especially when I feel like a large trend, as we said, is like this circling of the social, you know, like how do we make an obvious larger message out of this? I think it kind of just eschewed that and just really relied on comedy. And also like, I don't think this is really a spoiler. It's marketed as a horror, but I think it's definitely debatable whether it's a horror or not. And that in and of itself, when you use genre to kind of parody in and of itself the situation, I kind of really respect that.
That's really cool. I want to give that one a shot.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about X and Pearl?
I feel like we should. I mean, they both came out this year.
They were two of the largest, most popular releases.
No,
which
no
mind
way.
Boggles me.
No way.
Really. X and Pearl. Yeah.
No.
It really was.
Where was this fact gathered?
First off, the box office.
Ty
it was
West
literally. And
promotional
second off, literally, I reviewed all critic aggregates for this pod. And X and Pearl are in everyone's like top five. Now, that's what I don't get, because I actually didn't hate either of these films, but their inexplicable praise, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
You got Don't Worry, Darling sitting right over there, you know?
In the trash.
And you're going to give Ty West, Timon West, which is his real name. Don't know why he goes by Ty. Maybe he wants to sound cool, hip with the kids, okay? And be trendy and all that. But his movie's just okay.
It's just okay.
There's nothing mind-blowing. There's nothing that hasn't been done before.
Yeah, I think people rely a lot on Mia Goth just going batshit and doing like a 5-minute monologue, and which in and of itself, like, can I do that? No. Do I think it's impressive? Of course, to a certain extent, but I'm also never going to be one that's just stoked that someone can freak out. It's, you know, a lot of this is actually ties back to everyone wanting Toni Collette to win an award for Hereditary. I was like, she's just freaking out the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like, of course, that's impressive, but are you fucking with, like, that's the peak of acting? No, it's not.
And I'll tell you who does that the best.
Who?
Florence Pugh.
But you know, and I don't even
she's
like
got layers.
Florence Pugh.
She's got
I don't even like Florence Pugh, but
take
you can
it out.
See,
edit that out.
You can see changes in her, which I like.
She's
phenomenal. Like Midsommar, she definitely, I think, was doing
was
more than just
movie.
Freaking out.
Yes.
But Toni Collette, Mia Goth, I'm sorry, but I think all they do is just freak out in horror, and it makes people feel like, it makes
they
people
think
say,
they're watching,
exactly.
Like
they're like,
Oscar
oh, she's getting subbed for Oscars.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Right. I think as an actor, as like, I went to acting in college. I did acting for my first year in college. And I switched. So as a accomplished professional actor. I think clearly. Freaking out is the easier acting to do, right?
It's, I think so too.
You go ham, you go wild.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And I think that that's apparently like a minor opinion.
Yeah. Well, and so I didn't have a least favorite movie that I can think of, but I do have a least favorite horror trope.
Okay.
Okay. Of 2022 and recent years.
Okay.
Okay. And this is the first like time I can remember this movie that I'm going to do a little impression for. It was the first time, and I know this one didn't come out in 2022, but this is the first time I really started to like bother me. Okay. So here's, I'm going to set the scene. Okay. That's not a good impression, but okay. Let me go back 30 seconds in that film. Oh, you're in my home and you're looking at that picture on the wall. Oh, yes, that was me when I was younger. Would you like some tea?
Was that from It?
That's from It. Okay.
Oh my God. So, and we should do horror charades like that. Charades. I was like, It?
Okay. And it's just like naked, saggy titties running around. And oh, you're supposed to be like, ah.
So you're very anti-hack.
So, and then fast forward to 2022, and X is like, I'm an old lady and I want to have sex with
who's
you.
Who's clearly, ooh, Mia Goth.
I'm horny.
Makeup.
No, it was not clear. You know it wasn't clear because we didn't know when we watched
no,
it.
No, when we
that
were watching
cool
it,
twist.
I was like this. No, I think it was a cool
that
twist.
That was a cool twist. But. And then Barbarian also. Oh my God, what could possibly be hiding here? It's the scariest shit you've ever seen. Oh my God, it's some big saggy titties. No, no. Aww. Like that bothers me
you
so
just don't
much.
Like the hag
so much.
Trope. Damn.
I'm like,
I'm not against it.
I'm like, let women be sexual and old and saggy and wrinkly.
You
and
know
like,
where I thought
not...
your impression was going, though?
Yeah.
This is a good segue to Black Phone.
Oh.
I thought you were doing a fucking Ethan Hawke impression. Oh, yeah.
Ethan Hawke.
Good boy.
Oh, no. We should do horror charades.
Right?
Yeah. Black Phone, we're
which
all over
we
the
saw
place.
Together.
We saw together. Was my most disappointing, but only because of the hype. I
didn't really pay attention to the hype, though.
Yeah.
It was
just
also,
having good buzz, I guess, is
yeah,
what I mean. Like,
which, you know, that the dude that did the Black Phone did Sinister, things like that.
The intro to Black Phone, I was all about up until like the
kids.
But then at the point, oh God, the kids acting was not great, but it. I wished I hadn't read the synopsis because it was just exactly what the synopsis said and it was nothing more. And the twist was not like they didn't set up the twist right where like, spoiler alert, he's in the same house as his brother who's investigating the murder. That doesn't work if you don't set the movie
the
up.
The more that I
that
think
way.
About it, it's also what was the point of that?
There's no point.
There was no point.
You would have had, you just needed to set it up like a, differently to make that work.
And also I felt like every single time they kidnapped a kid it was super anticlimactic,
like after they kidnapped
it's
him
like,
you mean, or?
I forget who the main kid was, but it was like he turned around a corner, there was no music or nothing, it was just Ethan Hawke like, oh, you want a balloon? And
oh, I thought they did a good job there. I think there was more it was like it went into slow-mo
yeah.
And I like the balloon thing, I like the sketchy van thing, but then at the end of the day, he's just like the Joker, but less interesting. And
yeah.
There's
did
something
we ever see him
cool
without a mask?
It.
I don't think
so like
right?
Partial mask and that thing.
Oh, right. That partial
that didn't
mask
do anything
thing.
For me. Like it
yeah.
changes throughout the movie. But
yeah.
At the end of the day, just not that interesting idea.
And
to me.
We haven't really talked. We didn't talk about this when we watched it, but I just like, I know horror is whatever, is transgressive, but I really hate seeing child abuse on screen. And the more that I think on that child abuse scene, I'm like, what was the point of that? Like,
I don't even remember which one you're talking about.
Where he's beating the daughter with the belt. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
It's like so long. It's
yeah.
like 3 minutes long. And then like, the dad is redeemed by the
dad.
End?
It didn't it totally. The reason I didn't remember it at first because it didn't matter to anything.
It didn't matter, and it was so.
I guess
to me,
it's,
that
I
was
guess
like,
it's like yeah,
the cringiest
there's violence
part
in
of the
house
fucking film.
Violence. Yeah, Yeah, the acting, you got, I mean, poof.
No, it was a full...
That was a swing and a miss for me, but I know other people really liked it.
But, you know, another film that a lot of people really liked that was popular...
Oh, yeah, here we go. My favorite of the year.
It Follows.
Oh, no.
Also known as Smile. Oh! Because Smile is fucking It Follows without the sex, let me just say.
It Follows was
that
okay.
That is why it fucking bothered me. I was like, I've already seen this movie done better.
I didn't and like literally, It Follows
that's like a main critique of the film was they were like, oh yeah, it's It Follows.
Oh really? But yeah. For Smiling.
But with Smiling.
I like Smiling better than sex.
I also sex, one of the
Smiling
first,
is more scary.
One
to
of
me.
The Smile was not even the only thing Smile. I'll give Smile okay. is some of the effects in it. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Okay. I need 30 seconds to smile by myself. Clocked when you're ready.
Out. Okay. I clocked out a smile when one of the first lines in the first 5 minutes is, I'm a PhD student. I'm not crazy. I'm like already inaccurate.
Oh yeah.
Already inaccurate. Okay, see, but go
okay,
ahead.
Well, as someone who's not as close to that world, that line made sense to me. I was like, she's right. She's a PhD student. So Smile is my favorite movie of 2022 by a long shot.
This is so embarrassing.
I loved it so much because my journey with Smile was the trailers in the theater. It's the concept is so slap you in the face stupid. But I was still so scared of the trailers in the theater that I could barely watch the trailers in the theater. And it was not until I saw the trailer on my computer or something, like as an ad popped up on YouTube, that I was like, oh, actually, this looks really dumb. I can't believe I'm so scared of this. However, I was still excited. I still wanted to see it. So I saw it and it was way it, like I, the first thing I said to you as I texted you, I said, this is a secret A24 film,
which
because
not
it's
even.
So it comes like it looks like it's just a dumb Hollywood,
which it is,
like a one idea movie, but it's actually like really well made and it doesn't have any reason to be, but it is.
It's not.
It did the same. They did the same upside down camera thing that I hated in Midsommar, where it's just like this scenic shot, but then the camera slowly turns upside down, and it's like supposed to be like, oh well, you know, well, we're doing something artsy here, and I hated it in Midsommar. I loved it in Smile because Smile is elevated trash.
It is. Absolute trash.
And that is what I, that is my heart, soul, wow, sweet man. Spot. You give me a movie where the concept is that when someone starts smiling at you, shit's about to go down. And, but then you put some love and care into it. So much love and care was put into this film.
It was just
at
garbage.
The end, you even get a monster reveal, which was completely unnecessary, but I still...
I think that was the coolest part.
That was super cool.
That was the coolest
but
part.
But I did it. I literally said out loud when it was happening, I said, you don't have to do this. We don't need to see like the Smile monster. There doesn't need to be a franchise monster for every horror movie. But
I
it was
hope
still
we never
cool.
get another Smile movie.
We will get more Smile films.
I really hope we don't.
I haven't seen anything about it, but I know it in my heart to be true.
It was truly, like, I hated it for all the reasons that you said that you love it.
Did you really? Yeah.
And like I said, it's It Follows. And It Follows is one of my all-time favorite movies, bar none. And, one thing I'll give Smile is I do think the effects were pretty cool. I feel like Smile is your Malignant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smile is definitely your Malignant.
It might
where I'm
be.
Just like.
Except, but it was better made. Better acted,
Malignant was
better.
Better
written, directed, better
not even better acted.
It
Come
was.
On. You have Kyle Gallner doing his Kyle Gallner shit since he's been doing this in the 1990s in it. No. No.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but yes.
Kyle Gallner was her ex-husband. He's like a screen queen, but a man.
Yeah, he was nice. He was sensitive.
Oh my God,
he understood
shut up.
Her.
And also, like, I just also hate films where I know clearly where the storyline was going to go.
Oh, so you're too smart for Smile. In the first 5 minutes. You're too smart for Smile.
In many ways, yes. Because I was just like, we're building all up into this for her to set herself on fire.
You know what? I literally didn't see any of that coming.
Pass it on to Kyle Gallner because her black fiance is clearly going to be like, I'm not doing any of this fucking white nonsense.
Yeah.
And that's literally exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Well, I didn't see any of that coming. So maybe you're just smarter than me.
No. Yeah. All right. Some things that we watched this year, you know, we kind of premise ourselves as a foreign podcast. And
that
so
that was the premise anyways.
That was the premise. So some foreign watches, You Won't Be Alone, which I saw in a day. It was pretty okay. It was like a folk horror with Noomi. It was so Noomi Rapace, who starred in Lamb. So at that
Smile
point,
and Lamb, to me, basically the endings were very similar to me. But anyways, go on. Yeah. And I love Smile and I love Lamb. Sorry. 2021's best film.
Maybe you'll like You Won't Be Alone.
Is it the actress from it? Is that what you
said? Yeah.
Oh, okay. The title. I'll watch Smile too. Don't give me this. It Will Follow You Alone. I'm tired of them.
And actually, I saw that closer to the beginning of the year on a date, actually.
That's nice.
And yeah, it was just like, it was very much like Lamb to me, where I was like, okay, it's a folk horror. All right, okay, like whatever.
Okay.
Hatching, which I saw in the summer and actually really liked it. It's a Norwegian film, I want to say, and it's all about this like girl that has like a stage mom, and I think she's, and when I say girl, I'm saying like 11-year-old, 12-year-old, and her stage mom has her practicing like crazily for this ballet, but then she finds a baby bird, or you know, like an egg in her yard, and she brings the egg inside and nurtures it, and it grows into like a human-sized, and then it hatches, and what hatches out of it is herself, like her as a twin but feral.
I like that.
And it's a really, I would strongly recommend it. I think it was actually like one of the more underrated films I saw this year. You Are Not My Mother, we kind of already talked about. You know, to me that's more of a 2021 film, but it did get distribution in the US this year.
You Are Not My Mother?
Yeah, I saw it at the Berlin Final Film Festival, but now it's or Final Girl Film Festival, but now it's on streaming. It's set in Ireland. It's amazing.
Okay.
I love it. Speak No Evil is one of the movies that made me angriest of all time.
Wow.
It's Scandinavian, and one of the main reasons I didn't like it, and I don't know if you agree, you might agree with me, I hate films that stew in misery. That's like, the point of this film is just to feel bad.
I'm rarely in the mood for that.
And a lot of child abuse in that one.
What's that one called?
Speak No Evil. It's on Shudder. And a lot of people love, again, I saw it because it was getting great reviews, and then I watched it and I'm like, people just, and when I read the reviews, they're like, oh, this film does so well at being bleak. And I'm like, I don't care to watch bleak films.
Right.
Like, actually, as a horror person,
you could be
like,
the best, bleakest film. And
I could just be like, who cares? You know?
Although I'm looking at the pictures, it looks like a family trip kind of thing. That movie we saw where the family trip and the kids get murdered.
This is a really good example. So that movie was visceral, right? And definitely, in ways, I could see how people characterize that as like a feel bad movie, but there was like this almost like a redemptive
and it wasn't just straight misery.
Whereas
it was
Speak
more
No
like,
Evil, no. It's literally just like, yeah, we're going on a family trip. Oh, now, oops, you decided to come out here. Now we're just going to fucking
torture
your children, actually. It's not even to, and literally, like, they show the child abuse. Ooh. And I'm like,
what was
only
that movie that we saw that was the other one we're talking about where they go out and they kill the kids?
That was the New Zealand one, right?
Yeah, that was 2021. That was in the Leftovers episode.
Yeah, that was in the Leftovers episode. I forgot the name, though.
Yeah. That's different.
Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that.
But anyways, we did a pod on it.
Yes, we did a pod on it. And I think just what you were saying, like in that one, yes, something terrible happens, but then you have the grief Yeah. And you're going through other emotions rather than just like,
oh, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just so bored by it. So those were some of the foreign films.
Oh, what do you think about, there was one on Shudder I saw that was like Satan's
something. I think I know where you're talking about.
It's Indonesian, I think.
Oh, is it? Then yeah. I don't know where you're talking about. Okay. I did see Incantation as well this year, which was, I think, Korean, and it was okay. Yeah. So that's what it looks like for foreign. So let me name a few films that we haven't talked about.
Okay.
So just a few, that way we can kind of unpack. So ones that we still haven't talked about: Mad God, Deadstream, We're All Going to the World's Fair, Watcher, Resurrection, Crimes of the Future, VHS 99, and Orphan First Kill. So I gotta say, Orphan First Kill was easily my most unexpected. Was it a great film? No. But did I have a really good time watching it in the theaters? Yes. Are you ever going to watch it?
No.
Okay.
So, I mean, I would if we watch it together, like in a goofy way.
Okay.
If it's that fun. Yeah.
So it's a prequel to Orphan.
Okay.
Which already, okay.
Didn't need a prequel. I'm 100%
okay,
sure.
Okay, shut up. Yeah. So... y'all, so that's sort of like me walking in like, what is the point of this? Clearly, yeah. She's a killer. The twist is that when she was first adopted, because when she was first adopted into a family before the 2009 film, she was
2009 was when the first one came out?
Exactly. She's
no
a woman.
No wonder this movie
had
zero hype.
But that woman looks exactly the same.
We're going to make a prequel...
No, literally, and she looks exactly the same.
Really?
It's crazy. I think she's my age, actually. Yeah. She looks just as she did in 2009, which is she was like 18 in 2009.
Yeah.
Anyway, so when she was adopted into her first family, it was because she was posing as a missing child. The twist is the family killed the missing child.
Ooh.
So she's exactly.
That's the twist from the first movie or from the prequel?
No. That's what Orphan First Kill is about.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, wow. I don't know why I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
So it becomes a thing where she's not really the villain in this film.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so it's Julia Stiles actually losing her mind. I've never seen Julia Stiles act like this before. Like, to me, Julia Stiles is one of the most mid actors in the world, but after Orphan First Kill,
and she's the mother or something.
Yeah, she's the mother that killed the daughter.
Ooh.
She killed her own daughter.
Ooh.
But her husband never knew. So
twist upon twist,
exactly, because the husband's just so excited. Oh, we found her, she's no longer missing. But the wife is like, I killed you, bitch.
Wow.
And I lied to him.
I wonder how you like market that movie to make more people interested, because
I did not watch, and I will say that is one thing that worked in my favor. I did not read a synopsis.
Yeah.
I did not watch a trailer.
Right.
I'd seen the first, and it was, you know, when I watched it right before my flight for Vegas. I had like a super late flight, and I was like, well, might as well watch a movie today.
Yeah.
And that's when I watched Orphan, and I have no regrets. I'm glad I watched it.
I'm glad you watched it too. I watched a trailer last night. And I was like, I was just like, let's see what else is on.
No, that's totally okay.
Yeah.
So of the films I mentioned, anything that you want to...
Well, Mad God, it's like, I feel like I don't even know what to say about it. It's
a lot of respect for Mad God,
yes.
I think we can say. Because
now, Mad
obviously,
God is...
it took so much work.
This is like stop motion.
Yeah.
Hell.
Made over 10 years.
10 years by the somebody...
Tibet. I know his first name is Phil.
He did the designer stuff for Aliens and stuff.
Yeah. So a technical marvel
that is like, I think around 90 minutes of like, close your eyes and imagine like claymation stop animation of the Seven Rings of Hell or whatever, like
basically
just like a journey in hell and hell stuff, and the no dialogue, I don't think, for the most part.
No dialogue.
But then there's also some like actors in it too, like humans that come in, and I when I f- like before I started watching, I thought, oh my god, this is this is 100% me. This is exactly what I want to see. Yes, give it to me. And then after about 10 minutes, I was like, oh, this is not exactly for me.
No, it's definitely... Maybe we're not sophisticated enough, but Mad God definitely felt like an endurance test.
Yes.
And it's not like, I wouldn't say it's a bad movie per se. Obviously, I think there's so much to respect about it. But I also just think that, again, there's like this overblown, oh, this is the best movie ever. And I'm like, it can be a technical marvel and not be an amazing movie.
And this actually should be somebody's favorite movie because it is so niche.
Yeah.
You know?
It is very niche.
If you're into like the Muppets, but like hell, you know? If you're into that though. And you have to, I think the best way to enjoy this, or the best way to watch this movie is to, you'd have to take a hammer and smash your phone to bits. And turn off all the lights.
Even
and
then.
And then like buckle yourself into a seat.
I still feel like a lot of the shots were tedious. Like I try to watch it before bed because that is when I'm most disconnected from my phone.
Yeah.
That is where I'm just staring at a screen and I fell asleep. Because even me trying my best to like completely focus, some of the shots were just overlong tedious. Like I wish it, Mad God to me, I would watch that as a 35 minute short film.
Sure.
Not a 90 fucking minute endurance test.
Yes. I felt like I was watching like a Kickstarter project where I'm like, there's 1,000 people in this world that want this. And so I'm glad they got it.
Yeah.
But the criticism there of the long shots, like it kind of makes hell boring.
It made it boring. Yeah. Like there were definitely moments in this where I'm like, I could see how or why this is gory, but it's so drawn out that I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. So yeah. I feel bad for, you know.
I feel bad too.
10 years of someone's life, go see it.
I mean, everyone.
It's unique.
It seems like we are in the minority in a way too. So I'm like, okay, I'm fine being in the minority, but that's also not going to make me be like, or reevaluate it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not my thing.
Right.
It's definitely
not most people's thing.
Yeah. I agree with that.
But props to Mad God for being made.
Yeah.
Funding that Kickstarter project.
Any other ones you want to mention?
I just want to, well, like, God, there were so many.
Yeah. Like, well, okay. If there's not one you have off the top of my head, one trend I want to die is fucking dash cam found footage films.
Oh, yeah.
Which was in Deadstream, which was in dash cam, which was in VHS 99.
Was VHS 99 just like not good?
Here's the thing. I don't know why I do this to myself every year, but I don't think I like the VHS films.
Yeah.
But every fucking year, I'm like, oh, new VHS dropped, gotta go watch it. And then I watch it, and then I'm like, why did I do that to myself?
Yeah.
Like, what was the point? And the main reason why I watch VHS 99 is because it fit my October challenge. I did like an October challenge where I wanted a found footage film, and I was like, I'll just fucking do VHS 99. It just came out. But yeah, I just don't view anything of value in those films, save for like two segments of like 30, you know.
My feeling is like there might be a good segment like in the anthology
moments, but then
you have to like detach your brain to forget
the ones that were not good, and
you're just like, well,
you know what pissed me off about this one the most is each VHS has like an overarching narrative. Like the first one, they break into a house and they find the VHS tapes and they decide to watch them, which already like faulty logic, whatever. The one before this one was even crazier. It was a military operation and they were raiding a house and the military people were like, what is this TV room? Let's watch the tapes.
Oh my God, yeah.
But in this one, VHS 99, they had absolutely no narrative. It was just
a straight up anthology.
Yes.
I think I hate this more.
Because at least I could feel you trying in the other three. But for the fourth one, they're like, ah, fuck it.
It's
Who cares?
VHS's, man. Like, yeah, there's no realistic, believable way that you would watch VHSs like this.
Literally. And especially when you're literally, like, military rating, breaking into a house. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not going to fucking stop to watch VHS tape upon VHS
tape. And
actually,
you know what's even scarier? The internet. Like, where you stream horrifying things way more quickly than a VHS, you know?
Well, yeah, and that's what Dash Cam and Deadstream both center around protagonists that are Twitchers, or, you know, that do.
Really?
So it's like this constant live stream thing. And one reason why I hated Deadstream is that it was so obviously an Evil Dead homage, to the point of, like, cackling zombies done in the same style as Sam Raimi, that I was like, I officially hate this. Where I'm old enough that we're literally just recycling the same monster for a movie 30 years old, you know, 30 years later. And then Dash Cam was a bit more creative, because it takes place in a car, that the whole point of the Twitch stream for that one is that she's making music while driving. And that one had more like an alien subplot. But, well, first off, the protagonist is a right winger, like MAGA
streamer,
straight. Yeah. Oh, and a woman.
Yeah.
And like, the most vile, racist shit that she would say to every fucking alien and whatnot. And it's just like, and I'm just like, I don't want to see this.
Yeah.
Even fictionalized. And the thing about Dash Cam is that the protagonist isn't even fictional. Like, the actual real actress does that, is a right winger. Anyway, I want that trope to die. I don't want more Twitch streaming horrors.
Oh, God. You know it's not. You know we're just getting started.
I hate it. The Twitch streamer. I hate it so much. Yeah. I really
streaming, do. Oh, my God. Is the...
I really, really do.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Because while saggy titties may go in 2023...
I hope they never go.
I hope they don't either, but I hope it's not in a horror horror way.
Disappointment of the year was easily Crimes of the Future.
Yeah, this is the one I couldn't watch. This is the one...
He swears that he's going to pass out in the middle of it, but it is
I can't even watch the trailer. Talking about nipples
non-gory.
And surgery.
It just made me feel like Cronenberg's edge is in his son. Like, his son makes crazy fucking films, but... I feel like Cronenberg in the 21st century, I don't know.
I felt
bored.
The Giallo is still alive. He made a movie.
I think you're thinking of Dario Argento.
Dario Argento.
He did make a movie.
With his daughter or something.
Yeah.
Speaking
I've
of
heard
old gold
really
guys.
Bad things about it.
I think it's called
it.
Black Glasses.
Dark Glasses.
Dark Glasses.
I heard really bad things about it.
Yeah.
And
what's with these filmmakers? It's just
But
Crimes of the Future, I'm like curious.
I think you should watch it mainly because I swear it's not scary, it's not gory.
Ugh. But then is it just misery? Like 90 minutes of 2 hours of misery?
It's just like, you know, all I can really say is it's just like super pretentious.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
you know?
Thank you. Yeah.
It's literally about performance artists that do surgery as performance.
I hate it. I hate it. It's absolute goosebumps.
Yeah. I think this will be the last one I mention. My Best Friend's Exorcism. I wouldn't say it was good.
We watched a little bit of that together, I think.
No, we didn't.
Yeah,
did we?
I had to go. I had to leave. But we watched a little bit of that. And then you watched the rest. Yeah. In any case, you
really?
Liked it?
You
liked
watched
it?
Some of it?
Yeah,
me?
I watched some of it.
What did you think?
It was okay. It was... Didn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
But
there
was some... I
think I lumped with Orphan First Kill, where
guy?
I'm just like... I expected nothing out of this film.
Yeah.
And it was still pretty nothing, but I didn't fully hate it.
Yeah. Did they stick the landing? Did it have a nice ending?
I read the book. So I think is why I had some familiarity with it. But yeah, I mean, always an interesting concept, you know, like your best friend getting an exorcism
always
and you're in the
80s
and it's Charleston.
I'm kind of tired of the 80s stuff.
I am too. As someone that is, I'm literally wearing a Stranger Things Christmas sweater as we are sitting here, and Clinton gave me a Lost Boys shirt.
Yeah, but that was really in the 80s, right? Or the 90s?
I mean, no, that was definitely in the 80s.
Yeah.
But
like
mining,
Black Phone.
I think that was 70s, actually.
Oh, right. Well, close enough. It feels almost like
I do
like
think when
Halloween
you get away
costume.
From the 70s, 80s. But one thing, you know what does make me feel old? Anything set in the 90s. Like the 90s show being a thing coming up now is like...
Oh, God.
Exactly.
although I do think that Barbarian did it better. The like flashing back in the 70s, 80s
stuff. Especially because it did it in a way where it was... edited seamlessly. Like there's three prongs to that film, right? You have like the first romantic comedy bit almost, then the second bit is the Justin Long bit.
That was funny.
That
might have been the funniest of the horror.
If you want me to crown someone that I think does deserve a nomination for their acting in a horror film this year, I gotta say
you're
I'm gonna give it
to
Justin Long.
No way.
After watching that movie a second time, the levels that Justin Long, again, works on in that film, our first introduction to him is that fucking snap to in the car where he's singing
that
along.
Pretty good. That's so
earnest.
Memorable.
And it's so earnest.
Yeah.
Right there. And he's playing a character that is abhorrently despicable, but there are so many little curves along that line of his character that you're like, where is this actually gonna go?
And he's believable.
It's
and he's
so believable.
And it's not a caricature.
No,
really.
Not at all.
I mean, there's some, you know, you can
no
yeah.
like I
and you
I,
can sort of relate a little bit, and then
oh my god,
makes the
like
wrong
I
choice.
Think some one of the scariest moments in Barbarian is in the bar when he actually admits that he essentially raped that girl.
Yes, yes.
And he says it, but it's delivered in such a straightforward, believable, drunken dialogue where he's clearly not overly drunk, but you know he's past the point of just like just saying the truth. But he's like, you know, it was okay. It was okay.
Right.
I had to convince her a little, man.
Right.
I was like, holy fuck, that is just so scary to me because he nailed it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what those fucking fuckers are like.
Right. Right.
And yeah,
like
Justin
he's
Long,
not even real. He doesn't even understand what he's saying, the
yes,
weight of what he's saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that to me is subtle acting.
Yeah.
You know, you can freak out over anything,
yeah,
but to
exactly.
understand the nuance of. Justin Long, a Barbarian to me, is the underrated performance.
It made
of
me,
the year.
It did make me think, like, why don't I see Justin Long and more stuff? Like he is
Same.
Really funny.
He's really funny. It's clear he can be serious, you know. Again, another one of my favorite cuts in that film is when he discovers the underground and he opens the door.
Yeah.
And then the quick cut to
the measuring. Oh my god. He's like in this haunted house.
Just like,
everyone else is like so scared to take a step in it. And he's so obsessed. It's like his home, his real estate, and he's realized there's all this new area that he can claim, you know, to sell it for more money. So he's like measuring every inch of the haunted, spooky
just
basement.
So well acted.
Yeah. That did like go a little over into like a meme, like silly joke territory, but it was still funny and I still liked it.
I mean, especially in a film that is that again has like a lot of different things to it. It felt like a relief.
Yeah.
No, I think to me the performance of the year is Justin Long and Barbarian. Anna Jupp also did amazing, Nanny.
Yeah.
You
is
know,
that
the lead actress.
And you know what's cool about the Nanny is that I think that there I would say Nanny's like maybe horror adjacent. Like the scariest part in that movie to me, or the most tension, was the human-to-human things. So like when body space is being kind of like questioned, and like the the mother, there's a nanny and a mother, and the mother, well, they're both mothers, but the mother is
Michelle Monaghan
is like kind of touching her in a certain way, and you're not sure yet.
Which is a direct, it's a direct cinematic reference to Black Girl by Ousmane Sembene, who, Black Girl is a film about a Senegalese immigrant that goes to France and becomes, I think, also a nanny. And recently, Nicki Yatou did like a side-by-side on that. And I was like, damn. And as, I mean, hello, you didn't even know that. And you clue in so hard to it, you know?
Yeah, like where it's that like, was
the
powerful.
Person-to-person interactions are crazy.
Yeah.
My favorite parts of Nanny were definitely like the mythology parts.
Oh, really?
I definitely do agree with you that it may not necessarily be scary, but I definitely do think that there is this tension embedded into it. And also just like the when you internalize the perspective of that protagonist, all that movie is horror for her. Again, the horror of trauma. And sometimes I really... I really appreciate films that actually understand how to work with horror as trauma. To me, it's almost very Korean. Like Park Chan-wook films to me are horror. Like Old Boy, Sympathy for Lady Vengeance. Those films may not be horror straight up, but they are horrific. And I count them as horrors because it's the horror of what humans do to each other and also the horror of trauma and how it resurfaces in so many ways, particularly violently, right? Yeah, and I mean, in many ways, Nanny has like a happy ending.
What that ending came by came really quick. Right?
I felt too. Yeah, I felt that too.
Yeah,
yeah, I felt that too. I was honestly kind of surprised I had a happy ending. I was happy.
That was the happiest in the shortest amount of time I've ever seen. I think.
I think so.
It was like 60 seconds. It was like 30 seconds. Like,
yeah, like she gets like pregnant, and then like that's it, right?
She goes from like, well, spoilers. Fast forward 10 seconds. She like goes from almost killing herself, suicide, to like having a baby and maybe getting married or something. There's just like so it goes from death to rebirth almost immediately.
I definitely
I could have seen that play out a little bit more or something.
No, yeah.
It almost felt a little like
I'm not sure I loved the third act actually. But that's what makes Nanny so exciting is that it's like so many things did stick the landing. And remember, this is a debut feature film. That it just makes you feel like, oh, there's so much more that's going to get more refined as things go on. Yeah, so I would say those were my favorite performances of the year. Justin Long, Anna Diop.
And I'm not trying to troll you or anything because this is not a great movie, but Florence Pugh in Don't Worry, Darling is that's my performance of the year.
Actually,
maybe it's also because I just saw it, but she
people
is
have
so
said
good.
that she's the only good thing about it. And I mean, that's what I don't think Florence, again, I'm not the biggest fan of her films, but I think that she is undoubtedly one of the best actresses, especially when you think of like, who are the other it girlies like Margot Robbie and fucking what's her face? Emma Stone, you know?
Oh, yeah. And
people
Anya
like
Taylor-Joy.
Anya Taylor-Joy. Like, I'm sorry. Florence Pugh to me is the one that does it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. And there's something to just the amount, the volume that so many times I've seen these same actors in the same things.
Right.
Like, I do love just seeing different actors too.
You know?
And maybe I just haven't. But I'm already approaching like seeing Florence Pugh a lot.
No, Florence Pugh is in a lot.
But I'm still not tired of her. She's just,
You will allow Florence
I'll
supremacy.
Allow it, yes.
All right. So how do we feel?
I feel like 2022 was rock solid. It rocked. We could keep watching movies from 2022. I could. And still get
I want.
Still
I still really
want
to Salome. Salome and Westera
Salome
sound really
and
good.
Westera.
Salome is from an African country. I'm forgetting which one. And Westera is from Peru and Mexico. People keep suggesting Hellbender to me. But I just
cool
like every
name.
Single time
I, don't know,
I go to watch it, I'm like, I feel like I don't want to watch this.
Yeah. The movie I was thinking of earlier, Satan Slaves 2, Communion.
Oh, shit.
Indonesian. And so
we need to see Satan Slaves 1.
And all right, so I got to go back and watch Satan Slaves 1. And we then do I'm gonna love rush
Indonesian films here,
do
though.
Do we? Yes.
I mean, we saw May the Devil Take You, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, shit.
But maybe you probably, I mean, no, you saw
it. No, I did. I did. And those were, that's one of my favorite films I've ever seen, ever.
Really?
Oh, it's just crazy. It's on Netflix. May the Devil Take You.
Indonesian episode.
We should do an Indonesian episode.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to mention this. If you go on Shudder right now, everyone go on Shudder. And pull up, since you'll be listening to this just after Christmas, probably, unless you're listening to this years ahead of time. The Christmas Horror Story,
my
personal top three favorite horror movies of all time, has 5 out of 5 skull rating on Shudder. Okay, that is something that is so, no, almost no other film has 5
That's
skulls.
That's not a good compliment.
I was so excited to see that last night, and I thought, yes, my baby, my darling, my precious, precious movie, the greatest horror anthology ever made, Christmas Horror Story. If you haven't seen it yet, go give that a watch.
Do you watch a film on Christmas Eve?
No, not to be. I watch always... the film of the baby Jesus in church.
Oh, okay. I always watch It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm super excited. It makes me so happy. I love It's a Wonderful Life. It's maybe the most whitest American thing about me, but mm-hmm. I would die for that movie.
All right.
And then tomorrow I'm trying to decide if I want to see Tar or The Fabelmans. I don't really like Spielberg.
That's a Spielberg's making
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, so Spielberg has a movie. It's all about his family, but told through the movie. So it's like a meta movie thing.
Why don't you just watch A Christmas Horror Story?
No.
Just have some fun.
On Christmas, I like watching a new release. That's always been a tradition that I've had since growing up in Florida. Like in Florida, I would drive to Delia an hour away and we would go to the theaters. But now with the pandemic, I just spend the $20 to watch it at home.
Mm-hmm.
So Tar or The Fabelmans. I might even do Violent Night.
Yeah, that sounds better than what you've described before. worst movie I ever saw on Christmas?
What?
Benjamin Button. I saw that in theaters.
That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Are
and
you
I saw
serious?
That on Christmas.
Ah,
that's
we had exact
fucking
opposite
movie.
Experiences no, that, on the same I, day. The
was,
same year.
It was the perfect movie to
that
me.
That almost ruined my Christmas.
That was one of my favorite Christmases ever.
Wow.
I think I know, though, easily what's the worst movie I ever saw on Christmas, because it was the pandemic Christmas, and it was Wonder Woman 1984.
That was bad.
That was very
that was so
okay.
Bad.
And not only was it bad,
yeah,
I took a ton of mushrooms. So there were moments when I was watching that movie where I was like, I can't tell if this movie is so bad or if the mushrooms is making it worse.
Yeah.
And I think it was both, especially because that movie had like 4 different villains. And I'm like, are these all new villains or is this the mushrooms?
This
making
is the
up
mushrooms like splitting villains? Kristen Wiig into 7 different.
And I don't know if you remember, that movie is so hyper stylized that like everyone was wearing coordinating colors. And I was like, again,
yeah,
I don't know if this is normal.
Am I in the land of the real?
It was just, yeah. Wonder Woman 1984 was,
that
the, I'm
was
so glad. No more Wonder Woman
crap.
Movies ever again.
They remarkably amazing. Made so many bad movies.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I feel like we covered 2022.
Y'all.
You know, some highs.
We didn't really talk about Nope, but let's not.
Some
because
lows.
Let's
nope.
Just. Yeah.
We kind of did. We said that we didn't really fuck with it.
I tried.
Okay. I watched all of it. I hated it mainly because, again, it's a story that could have been told in 90 minutes.
Uh-huh.
It's so fucking clunky. One thing I'll always give Jordan Peele is, of course, your cinematography is beautiful. But again, it's like I am walked through a story and I'm supposed to be watching a horror, but it's a horror without any tension. It's like, I'm just like, what is the point of this here?
Yeah.
I think Watcher and Resurrection are also two that we didn't discuss, but those are both on Shudder. Those were both films that were hyped to me. And I didn't like them as much as you were hoping.
Yeah.
Especially because someone described resurrection to me as possession. So I was expecting, you know, at least something a little bit crazy. And the crazy, well, first off, it's about a guy that ate his son to spite his much younger wife that he groomed out of academia. He follows her 20 years later saying, he's been living in my belly for 20 years. You want to see him, right? Long story short, in the last 10 minutes, she finally fucking cuts him open. And supposedly there's like this fetus in the back. But it's also ambiguous. Like, you can't tell if it's her going insane or if it was real. And I was like, is it just because something was living in someone else that someone called this possession? Because this is definitely not like possession.
I'm speechless on that one. I can't believe I missed multiple male pregnant horrors.
This was definitely the year of male pregnancy and not in an inclusive way.
And I missed
more
it.
In a, well, what if men got pregnant, but real men, not trans men.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's like, gender and it's essentialism. Horror.
And it's horror.
Yeah. Yeah.
And gender essentialism can eat a dick. All right. Well, fist bump, we did it.
Yeah. Wee.
Okay.
We're almost close enough to fist bump, actually.
We thank you for listening.
Yes. Thank you all for having 2022 with us. And if you're listening in the future, whatever year it may be, 2023 is going to be great. We're all going to be hanging out, watching movies together. And hopefully many, many
years. We're
going
to go to the Alamo now.
To the Alamo or whatever the Alamos are near you know.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're going to be one big happy family watching movies together and having a good time. And so thank you all for listening to us.
We have something to look forward to. All right. Well, be safe. Have a Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year Oh, I don't have anything else to say either.
Whatever holidays exist.
All the other holidays. Oh. And what are we going to say? Do we have a future pod to tease?
I mean, Indonesia, aliens. Did we ever do Hitchcock?
I think I watched the films, but I don't think we did. I think something else came up.
So we definitely we need to do Hitchcock. We need to do aliens. And I do want to do Indonesia.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So that's what we're doing.
2023, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.